I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest, building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Reuters, Hong Kong, dated now. There's precious little information about the trade agreement Donald Trump says he has struck with Vietnam, writes Reuters. Hanoi hasn't even fully confirmed the details the U.S. president laid out in a social media post Wednesday within these last hours. Taken alongside Trump's tariff talks are as much about trying to hem in China as anything else. Chris Riegel, a CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm, is here to help me understand that we need to start with this deal to explain the intricacy of world trade up to this point and how China, the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party, has gamed the system, by that I mean the WTO, very successfully for decades. And now, because the system is temporarily on pause, I believe, the gaming is not as easy as it was. I note that after this deal, whatever it is, it sounds like 20% tariff and Vietnam has accepted it, but that's just a temporary item here. Whatever this deal is, China has already blasted it. Chris, a very good day to you. Okay, the tip here is that China's unhappy with the 20% deal struck by Vietnam, maybe. Why, Chris? What's it to China? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Vietnam has been, in the last several years, a much more interesting competitor to China when it comes to labor and infrastructure in the electronics industry. So Vietnam is starting to really punch above their weight in taking business from China in many of the sectors of whether it be television, smartphone assembly, other. So you're starting to see Vietnam as a labor competitor to the Chinese infrastructure, and especially during pandemic, when there's a lot of political friction with China over access and restricted parts or restricted opportunities, you saw a number of very large global consumer technology companies open up operations in Vietnam, and you continue to see that migration from the mainland now to Vietnam as a good alternative.
And the alternative is lower tariffs, cheaper labor, modern factories. It's Vietnam. Nothing about that country suggests that it's had a breakthrough in governance. I believe it is a communist state, ostensibly. And 40 years after the last of the hostilities, it's still underweight in the world affairs because of the damage to the population. So why Vietnam?
So, John, several points. The cost of labor in Vietnam is very attractive, where in China it's continued to rise. Secondarily, you have a very young population in Vietnam that's very hungry for success. So in working with customers and companies there, you see a optimism, you see a spark in the eyes in many of the Vietnamese that are desirable. They desire success. They're very, very hard workers. They wish to see great things for their country. So you see a level of optimism. In China, much of the challenges that have occurred under Mr. Xi have been about control, have been about reducing the influence of foreign business or other, where the Vietnamese embrace foreign investment and are seeing a kind of a much more open point. But I think effectively, Mr. Xi has done tremendous damage to the Chinese economy through restriction and through a lack of IP respect or others that's just making China more and more difficult to do business in.
All right. What I have then is this, that there is the allegation that Chinese companies, especially those that are understood as state-owned enterprises, or at least allow the state to sit on the boards, use Vietnam as a cutout in order to bypass rules and regulations of the World Trade Organization, and that that has been an open secret for some time, and Vietnam has benefited from it. Is all that accurate, or is that just allegation?
I think that's generally accurate. You've seen Vietnam, which started as a proxy for the Chinese in export and in moving product into the U.S., has now started to build more of their own native infrastructure. So companies that are migrating out of China or looking to at least diversify their supply chain now have a truly viable option in many categories in Vietnam.
You say that China has an infrastructure that is more conducive to moving items quickly and serving the world market and the U.S. market. Is Vietnam capable of that? Are they building it, or are they just sitting on the money they take off the top?
In a word, no. Today, the Vietnamese do not have anything near the competitive infrastructure. For all of the banter about China globally, China is still an unbelievable place to do parts of electronics and consumer electronics, because you have these cluster manufacturing areas that can do things in days or weeks that would take months anywhere else in the world. Where Vietnam is highly competitive is on labor. And with the tariff agreement in place, it gives a opportunity for more foreign investment to bring up that infrastructure in Vietnam. So with China opposing or speaking down to the new trade agreement, it shows their fear and their understanding that Vietnam can be a viable competitor in many sectors.
When I say that it's an open secret that China uses cutouts, is it possible to train cutouts to behave as if they're not Chinese so that they're stealthy? In other words, are the Chinese going to take another bite at the apple and come back as, say, Bangladeshi or some other exotic startup with attracting foreign investment? Is that game underway?
That game is underway, John, but what I think you want to look at is the leadership class in each of the different countries and whether they are embracing of the West and desirous of finding similar success, or whether they're retrograde. If the rumors in China are true about a changing of the guard, the question will be, do you see pivot towards the West to understand we have to work together as a global economy versus isolationism? That push towards leadership in the countries and how they view working with the West is key. And those that are embracing the West as being able to do work and being able to create value for their citizens are seeing success. Those that are isolating are seeing failure.
The rumors about Xi Jinping continue. They're not specially new. They just repeat what's already been whispered, which is that there is unhappiness at the top and that there will be a power-sharing arrangement in which Xi will be ushered towards retirement in 2 years' time. I mention all that because it's to call it an opaque system is an overstatement. It's just totally non-transparent. Have you seen any indication from your business or your colleagues' business on the mainland that there's a lessening of the surveillance and the brute bullying that's been going on? Has it eased at all?
John, it has not. In fact, it's increased. I think the thing to contemplate would be after Mr. Xi is no longer in power with the new leadership coming in, will they liberalize and become more Western and dial back the surveillance state a bit, or will they double down on it? My guess would be dialing back, because the Chinese population has generally had enough, and the Chinese will put up with a lot so long as the economy is successful. Now, with the challenges in the economy, there's tremendous pushback internally in China, something we've not seen in decades, but that is coming to the point of, does heaven favor the leader? If economically there's not growth, heaven does not favor the leader, and that's a reason for a change.
Coming home to America, because the competition with China is not entirely going to be overseas. It's also in the U.S. of A. You will all remember the CHIPS Act that was a successful move through Congress under President Biden. There is reason to question the CHIPS Act in all directions. However, this is a new version. Reuters, again, in these last days, the end of June. Wolfspeed files for bankruptcy, protection to cut worsening debt. Shares jump. The explanation is, Wolfspeed said it has filed for Chapter 11, bankruptcy, as the chipmaker grapples with huge debt and slowing demand from electric vehicle and industrial markets. Shares of the company rose 64% in extended trading. Wolfspeed raised going concern doubts in May as deepening economic uncertainty stemming from changing U.S. trade policies combined with weakening demand triggered a series of financial challenges. This is the CHIPS Act in action in New York State. And it looks right now from facile reading that we're in the early days of another Solyndra. Is that it, Chris? They attracted all this money, presuming that Mr. Biden would go on forever, and it didn't happen?
John, Wolfspeed was incredibly well-connected, and especially in the New York power base, very well-connected. The technology that they were promoting, growth of chips and infrastructure on silicon carbide, is an important technology, but it goes to show that government becoming involved in spending a lot of money on some of these process areas is a risky venture, risky bet. That being said, Wolfspeed will likely reform in some new lesser debt environment and will likely be highly successful, but it is a very competitive market. It's a very challenging environment. And with everything else, a good greater industrial policy towards chips is needed. CHIPS Act is important, should continue and grow to make U.S. companies more competitive. This is simply one of the bumps in the road.
My memory of the CHIPS Act, however, and it's just anecdotal, is that piled in there, not exceedingly expensive, but certainly annoying, were details that suggested it's 1920. Childcare, for example, re-education, for example, extended holidays, understanding of staying home when pets are ill, that sort of foolishness. Is that a problem for the CHIPS Act in America? Not just New York, but everywhere.
So, John, the idea of the CHIPS Act in federal assistance to building some of the infrastructure necessary for tech companies to be competitive is exactly right. That being said, under the Biden administration, the CHIPS Act became highly political. Much of the filing was focused on support for disadvantaged communities, childcare, things that have nothing to do with making chips and being competitive on a global market. That being said, in the Trump administration, the real question is, will CHIPS Act continue? Will it be rebooted? Will it be restructured in some way? But fundamentally, U.S. companies cannot compete with foreign competitors that have orders of magnitude of support from governments. TSMC has taken over $200 billion from the Taiwanese government over the last 20 years. It's very difficult for a U.S. company to compete in that environment, even with the best people. There's a capital structure there that has to be supported and requires some form of external support to work.
I'm speaking with Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm. We've come home to America. Now we're coming home to Ohio because there's talk, and so far it's fetching talk in the Financial Times, that there's a new bank forming up, headquartered in Columbus. But this bank ordinarily would have been in Silicon Valley. So how does this take us to the next step? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, There are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.